In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and today's Gospel gives us a repeat, if you will, of last Sunday's Gospel. The last Sunday after Pentecost, we look towards the end of the world. The first Sunday of Advent, we begin in a new year, the ecclesiastical year, and again we look at the end, Christ's return. And this is what we're waiting for. But as last Sunday I mentioned, the devil has been working against us since the beginning of time. The devils were created before we were created. They saw us being created, and they hated us from the beginning because we are made in the image and likeness of Christ, the image and likeness of God. And the devils have been out plotting to destroy us since that time. And I ask you to recall that the devils are intelligent. They're smart. They have been studying us, and they've learned quite a few things about us. They know exactly how to manipulate us. They know when to push the buttons, how to push the buttons to get us to jump through hoops. And we often wonder why we do things that we don't understand. The devil knows our psychology. He knows our makeup. He knows our weaknesses, and he uses everything he has at his disposal to destroy us. And I say this because today's gospel tells us to look around before the coming of Christ. We're going to see all these terrible things happening in the world around us. And St. Augustine warns us, don't be too literal in your interpretation about the sun being darkened and the moon not giving her light, the waves. Don't worry about the earthquakes, the tornadoes. Those have been happening also since the beginning of time. St. Augustine tells us we need to look for a more spiritual understanding and to recognize that in the church, or the church is the moon that reflects the light of God. The church is the star that sheds her light for mankind to see. So I want you to understand the devil is out to get us. The devils are not going to give up, and you're never going to be free of them until you're either in heaven or hell. The devils are going to keep at us every moment. And now I ask you to look around and see the evidence. I'll begin with your family. A father, mother, and child make up one family. They're three distinct persons, but they make up one family. And they are to act as one, to live as one, to be one. And of course, there can be more children than one, but in essence, that family represents, Philomena, do you know what that family represents? Oh my goodness. How about Eliza? Three people make up one being. Okay, Octavius, you're going to have to help us out here. You don't know three persons in one being? What do we call that? Okay, I put them all on the spot. Okay, Veronica. The Blessed Trinity. Very good. Someone pays attention in catechism. Three persons and one being is God, the Blessed Trinity. Our family is made in the image of the Blessed Trinity. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but Father, Mother, and Child. And the devil who hates God hates the family. It is the devil that puts husband against wife, wife against husband. It is the devil that puts child against the parents against the child. It is the devil that puts brother against sister. Brother against brother, sister against sister. That is the devil tempting us. He wants to destroy that relationship between siblings, between parents, between husbands and wife, because that relationship reflects God. And the devil hates us because we are made in the image and likeness of God. The devil hates those relationships because those relationships are made in the image and likeness of God. And so we should be able to open our eyes and see this. The devil is the one who is filling us with this competition. I think I mentioned last Sunday, husband and wife. The spouse comes and says, if I do what you tell me, my spouse will win. And I think I perhaps raised my voice just a little bit then. Do you remember that? I said, what do you mean your spouse is going to win? Your marriage is not a game. Your marriage is not a war. If one spouse wins, I assume they both win. This is not a zero-sum competition or a zero-sum game. You can both win. And the success of one is the success of the other, not the failure of the other. It is the devil who comes and suggests that we're competing, that we're either playing a game or that we're at war. That is the devil's doing. And then, even from little on, it is the devil that suggests to little boys that girls are no good and we can't have girls in our club, and little girls to say we don't want boys, and we hate boys or we hate girls. We hate this group, we hate that group. That's not from God. God made us brothers and sisters so we can get along, so we can help one another to be good. But it doesn't stop there. We go off to school, and what do we learn in school? We've got to really try hard so we can beat out the other person, so we can be the winner. We've got to work together as a class so we can beat the other class. We've got to work together as a school so we can beat the neighboring school. We've got to work together as a state. And I see that in so much of this, we call it fans. You know, we have our fans of Louisville and we have our fans of UK, right? And we're going to fight to the death. Not literally, but there are some people that become fanatics, and this is a matter of life or death. And I can, what is so big about this? What is so important? Your two universities in the state of Kentucky, you should be one. All the competition is good, but the devil suggests we take it further. You like Louisville, you can't be any good. You're a loser. Or if you like UK, you can't be any good. And we disparage one another. It's no longer just entertainment. It's no longer recreation. It's no longer for fun. It has become something worse. And I tell you, it is the devil that is suggesting this something worse. He's turning us into fans for our team, our school, our country, our state. And do you know what fan is an abbreviation of? Do you know what a fan is? It's not just those things that circulate air. Fan is a shortened word for fanaticism. And you don't want to be a fanatic. A fanatic is someone motivated by enthusiasm, but it is defined as unreasoned enthusiasm. You can be enthusiastic, but you need to use your intelligence to fight for whatever cause it is you're enthusiastic about, whether they're right or wrong, is unreasoned. We need to be reasonable. And it is the devil who's suggesting to us to be unreasonable. If you ever argue with someone who is unreasonable, they won't listen to anything you say, and no matter what you say, they hold to the same opinion. That's the devil working behind them. And if we have Christ living within us, we see that, we recognize that, we don't hate them. We pray for them. And so our Lord is telling us, this first Sunday of the ecclesiastical year, look around you. The devil is all around. The devil is suggesting evil things. And it's easy to get scared, to become anxious, to worry. There's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of families that are being broken up. There's a lot of babies that are murdered before they ever get to see the light of day. Deliberately killed. There are wars. And you don't have to look very hard into the news to know that there's been a war going on in Russia and the Ukraine for I don't know how long now. There's war going on in Palestine and Israel. And everybody wants to pick a side. Who's right? Who's wrong? And I think they're all wrong because they're all listening to the devil. What does God want? Whose side is God on? The God that I know, Jesus Christ, he wants everyone into heaven. He doesn't want us fighting one against the other. He came to bring peace. And this whole season of Advent, we're calling upon Christ to come to bring us this peace. On Christmas Day, we sing of the peace that he's going to bring us, or that he has brought us. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. Peace is what God wants. This war, this competition, is the devil's doing. But the devil doesn't just stop at getting us to compete with our brother and sister, to fight against our classmates or competing sports teams. The devil's got involved in everything, into our politics. We will fight against communism, democracy, atheism, Christianity. And it goes right in to religion, the heart of the matter. Christ came, made it clear, here is what you must believe. Here is what you need to do to please God, to get into the kingdom of heaven. Go forth and preach this to all nations. And so the church has sent out missionaries throughout the world. But the devil sent out his missionaries as well. The devil sent out his missionaries to create false Christians. It is the devil who has inspired these wars, the religious wars. The Muslims think that we are all, what do they call those? Infidels. In the eyes of the Muslims, we are infidels, and according to their religion, we should all be killed. They have a religious desire to slit all of our throats because we are Christians. And you say, but not all the Muslims. No, but that's their religion, and that's what their fanatics, the extremes. But it is not a religion from God. because they have rejected Christ. And so we can expect nothing less than that from them. They hate us because their religion is from the devil. They hate our religion because they have hate for Christ. They worship a false god. We can say the same with the Jews, the Protestants. The list continues on and on. It's the devil who is dividing, making all these little distinctions, all these different groups. And this is the sun being darkened, the moon being darkened and not showing her light. This is the roaring of the sea and the waves that we read about in today's gospel. This is the fury of all of hell let loose against us. And all we need to do is recognize it. What must I do? I say, don't panic. Don't become anxious. Take a deep breath and don't act from emotion, anger, rage, frustration. Set aside all the passions and remember that you are made in the image and likeness of God. In your immortal soul, you have three faculties: memory, intellect, and will. God has given us all intelligence and expects us to use it. Think. Recognize where the evil is coming from. Recognize how we are to react against the evil. It's not the person that we need to hate. It's not the person we need to kill. It is the devil behind the scenes. It is the devil who is fanning the flames of fanaticism. And in every emergency, every difficulty, we need to remain calm. We need to remain at peace. We need to be able to lift up our eyes to heaven and recognize that God is still in charge. All things work for the good of those who love God. Don't get excited. It's the world, it's the devil who's telling you, oh, you must get excited. You must become angry. You must not think. Just act impulsively. And Christ is saying, no, remain calm. And as proof of this, I'm going to ask you to go back to the beginning, the early days of Christianity, the believers in Christ. They were being rounded up, imprisoned, tortured, killed. And they could be freed of all of these things if they would simply renounce Christ, or if they would simply offer sacrifice to an idol, to a devil. And they would not. Were they anxious? No. Many Christians raised their hand. I'm a Christian. You're looking for Christians? I'm one. And they knew very well that they would be arrested, imprisoned, tortured, and killed. I'm a Christian. I will stand up and die for Christ because Christ has died for me. I am not afraid. What can you do to my body? What's the worst that you can do? If you kill me, you send me to heaven. And for that, I will thank you. I don't hate you because you hate me. On the contrary, just as Christ doesn't hate us because we have turned against him, we have offended him, we have insulted him, we have abused him, he doesn't hate us. He loves us and he wants to forgive us. And he says to us, be ready to forgive your neighbor. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. When you look around the world and you see these storms, you see these wars, you see this darkness, lift up your eyes to heaven. Call upon Christ. And in Christ, you can overcome all the difficulties. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the social media. Don't listen to those advertisers who only want to use you and abuse you. Listen to Christ. Begin to use your intelligence that God has given you. Think. And as anything in this world happens to you, if you're in a car accident, you know the worst thing you can do is panic. You're bleeding, you know the worst thing you can do is panic. You need emergency help, the worst thing is to panic. You need to stay calm. You need to think. What should I do first? Do I try and find my cell phone so I can call for help, or do I stop the bleeding? Where do I go? What should I do? But you have to be calm to be able to think. And there's too often an emergency, and people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They don't know what to do, where to go. They just run around and scream. And they're not helping anything. Their panic is only making things worse. We need someone with a calm, cool head to analyze the situation quickly and efficiently and say, here's what we must do. Get the fanatic out of here. Get the person without any faith that is panicking and worrying. Get them out of the way. Stop. Lift up your eyes to heaven. Call upon your guardian angel. Ask God for help. Make an act of contrition. Use your head. That's why God gave it to you. There is nothing in this world for us to panic about. The worst thing that can happen is we lose our life here on this earth. But that only opens up the gates of heaven for us. We should not be afraid of that. We should welcome that. Let us try to remain calm, especially in difficulties, in conflicts, emergencies. When we're insulted, let us not return insult for insult, blow for blow. But let us love one another. Just because your sister hits you doesn't mean you get to kick her. Just because they insult you doesn't mean you get to insult them. On the contrary, our Lord said, turn the other cheek. Do good to those who persecute you. Someone hurts you, do something nice for them. And maybe you will win them over. If you fight fire with fire, as I believe I said last week, you end up with a bigger fire. Turn to Christ. And don't fight fire with fire, hatred with hatred, insult with insult, blow for blow. But on the other hand, fight fire with water. Cool the flames. Pacify the anger. Calm the anxiety. Put up with the weaknesses of your fellow men, because their weakness has been fanned by the devils. They're not the ones we should be angry with. It is the devils. So once again, as we begin this new ecclesiastical year, we're looking around the world. We can see the darkness, we can see the wars, we can see all of nature moaning and travailing, Travail means to work. Waiting for the sons of God. Waiting for us. We are the ones to carry Christ out into the world. To patiently, kindly, lovingly fight against these devils. To fight against error and falsehood and darkness. And to bring light and truth to the world. We are to be that light. And the terrible thing is that too often the devils trick us into listening to them instead of Christ. The devils trick us into looking at the wars and the darkness and saying, oh no, what should I do? And we panic and we get our stomach all in knots and our heart racing and we make ourselves sick over worry and fear of expectation of things that may never even happen. Let us ask God, our guardian angel today, to help us overcome the devils. In this sight of all this darkness and fear, whatever the world is doing around us, we don't have to join them, but we can lift up our eyes to Christ and call upon Him. And no matter what's happening around us, the peace of God can be in our heart and soul. And that's more important than the comfort of our body, the pleasures of our bodies, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to sleep. None of that matters. All we truly need is Christ living within us. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.